Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, Mud Toe fans everywhere. This is Mud Toe at Midnight. I am your host, Mud Toe Sasquatch. Thank you for tuning in this evening. It's Friday, which is the day I usually do the show, so it worked out very nicely that way. This is also something like my 100th episode. I don't know if it's exactly precisely my 100th episode because I haven't been keeping track, but I'm coming up on my second anniversary. It's the end of the month. And that should be my 104th or 105th show because there's 52 weeks in a year. And you don't know if it's exactly on the dot of the week, you know, the same week as the show started on. So something like 104, 105 shows at that point. Now, I missed a couple of shows while I'm away. I was sick once. I just slept through the doggone thing once. I think there was once that I was on the road and couldn't do the show for whatever reason. But I know there are, I can clearly remember three shows that I didn't do. So that would put the end of April as episode 102 or something like that, which would put today at about 100 or something like that. So thank you, those of you who've been tuning on in for some, most, or all of these 100 shows. Wish I had something special for you tonight, but I just, you know, I'm just not that organized. I had actually planned at one point that I would try and find some of my interesting clips from my older episodes and put them together into some sort of compilation, but my motivation died a quick death, and so here you are just listening to me again. That's okay, because this is sort of the relationship we have. You know, I speak and you listen somewhere in what I perceive as silence and darkness. I don't know what it's like where you are. It's midnight in Columbus, Ohio right now, my large city in the Midwest. Kind of a chilly day after we'd had several warmer days, several warmer sunny-type days, and it almost got warm enough to where we started to see some girls in bikinis out on the common area at the university, but didn't quite get warm enough for that. There were some tank tops and shorts, though. Not that I notice these things, you know. Of course, I'm an enlightened individual, but when one moves about on campus, one cannot help but notice. But so we were almost there. We were on the cusp of that. That's what signifies the coming of spring to me. And we didn't quite get there. The weather turned rainy yesterday and turned colder today. So we'll just have to wait for the weather gods to smile upon us once again. I had a busy Friday, and next week I'm also going to have a busy Friday. I may be quasi-comatose the next time I talk to you, just because I have this part-time job I'm doing at the medical school, and I have a job to do on Friday, but I'm supposed to be there at 7:30 in the morning. And I don't do mornings anyway, and 7:30 is kind of brutal. And it's especially brutal because nobody is at the... It's in the medical library is where we do these things. And there's nobody there at 7:30 in the morning. There's nobody to let us in. So we usually, those of us who are doing this, I think I talked about this last week. I go there and they give us a list of symptoms, and we pretend that we're sick for medical students, sort of practice for them before they let them loose on real people. But anyway, it's at the medical school library, and we're supposed to report at 7:30, and there's nobody there at 7:30. So we're all just kind of waiting around for somebody to open the door. Several weeks ago, we had one like that, and I managed to sneak in along with somebody who had a key card. It was actually the person who was running the Starbucks there. They had a key card to get in, and I kind of sneaked in behind them. Kind of like in that James Bond movie, I just sort of pretended. And I was inside and everybody else was outside. I just didn't feel right about it. Eventually, I think I left everybody in, but it's just a weird thing. I don't like being put in that position. I cultivate this image as a risk taker and a heartbreaker, but that's not really me. I'm really kind of just want to be able to just sit back and watch life unfold in front of me without interjecting myself into processes wherever I can avoid it. If you believe that, I really am. I'm a peaceful man. I'm a peaceful man at heart. So anyway, once again, welcome to the show. Thank you for joining me. What's happening? Well, I already told you a little bit about what was happening, or actually told you more about what's happening next week and this week. This week, rather than I didn't have work to do today, but I did have an appointment downtown concerning my therapy, which I haven't had for a while. Can you tell? I used to have my most recent therapist was provided to me by the university where I was working and going to school until last September. And since I'm no longer working and going to school at the university, I can't use their therapists. So I've kind of been trying to get by without it, and I found that I do really miss having someone basically to bounce things off of, you know, who's not involved in any of my other sort of circles, you know, because I feel like if I talk to, you know, they're friends that I really trust, but at the same time, I might be talking about other friends of mine whom I also, you know, I don't really think that they would go off and talk to each other and tell on me, but you know, you never know. So I found it's always best to have that neutral person, that third voice, to where I can sit down and just say anything that's on my mind and I don't have to worry about who else is going to know. And I've missed having that for the last several months. So on the advice of my physician, I contacted the County Mental Health Board, and this, what happened today, was my third meeting, my third person I've sat down with to try and convince them that I'm worthy of this counseling service. We'll be using this counseling service that's run by the county. I spoke first to someone who talked about my financial, you know, what kind of financial need I was in. You know, I don't have insurance, and I only make a few hundred dollars a month, and so forth and so on. I made it past that hurdle. And the second person was someone to evaluate me for, you know, what sort of counselor I might need, you know, what exactly my troubles were and what kind of person I needed to be, or what sort of treatment, I guess you would call it, that I would need. And that was that was actually 4 weeks ago. And then this week I talked to a caseworker who was going to assign me to a specific counselor. And so, if all goes well, my next meeting should be with the actual counselor I'm going to be talking to. And there's always seems like at least a few weeks goes by between each of these meetings. So all these people are very busy. There's a lot of crazy people walking around out there. And I say that advisedly. I say that because I lump myself in with them. I'm not. There's no judgment being. I'm certainly not going to cast judgment on anybody who's sitting in a sitting in an office waiting to partake of the same services I am. I started therapy 2005. Maybe it was even sooner than that. But even before I got into recovery, I was going to therapy, and it very quickly became something that. I'll go ahead and say it. It's something that I depend on. It's something that I depend on to keep me sane every bit as much as I depend on the meds I take to keep me from being, you know, a screaming crazy person. To bring me to this level of functionality that I'm at now. I'm highly functioning. The person I talked to today, the placement person, said that I am a highly functioning person. I don't know that I would have ever put the highly in front of that, But I am, you know, I am living, I am making my way, I am able to pay my bills and recognize that the things I need to do to get my daily business done, which is something probably many of the people like that office don't share. So I count myself lucky in that respect. And just a bit, I do feel just a bit guilty about wanting to do this or considering doing this at the expense of the poor, overburdened taxpayers. But I promise them and I promise you that I will only use that service for as much long as I absolutely have to. In fact, if you're really worried about it, you can all go out and buy my book when it comes out, and then I won't have to use the county mental health services anymore. Do you have a pact? Is that good? We can make a little contract, and we can make that happen. Of course, if in order to make that happen, I have to keep up my end of the deal, which is to write the damn book. Still thinking about that deal, still, too, and still talking about that. I did have a discussion with a friend of mine who is working on a book and some publishers that she has worked with in the past. Also a couple of friends who have actually published books, and it would probably be a good idea for me to talk to them as well, don't you think? Might be a good idea. I could talk to them, my friends who have actually published books, so I know who to talk to. I know one friend had encouraged me to look into actual, you know, sort of traditional publishers before going to the sort of internet publishing arena, which tends to be very niche-oriented, and what this person had told me was that you can get lost in that, something that's not strictly a niche book, and mine really isn't. You can kind of get lost in among the medieval fantasy novels and Star Trek and what have you, mashups with whatever it is. I never really quite understood how that happens. I have a friend who wrote a Star Trek novel and published it and charges money for it. How do you get away with that? I mean, Star Trek is really still sort of out there. But anyway, never mind that. That's just where things are with the whole publishing deal right now. What else can I tell you about? Oh, I did my meeting downtown. Because of that, I bought a bus pass, a day pass for the bus, so I could go down there to the downtown and then come back. And I needed to make a stop. I had to stop at the bank. And if it's two trips you're making, like downtown and back, is counted as two separate trips. It's actually more economical to just pay for each trip separately. But if you're making three trips or more, then you buy a day pass, and it's cheaper to do it that way. So I had this day pass, and it's all day, just as the name says. And I figured, well, yeah, I don't really want to waste it. So this evening, I just took a bus ride, just for the hell of it. I got on a bus and actually got on the number 21, which is the drunk bus. They added that. It goes up and down the main drag, the main north-south drag in town until 3 in the morning on Fridays and Saturdays. And so it can be an interesting group of people you encounter on that particular ride. Alas, it was really too early for me to encounter anything like that. But it was, how can I put this delicately? Our bus driver was not a happy person. I do not think he was happy in his work. You know, when I got on the bus, I put the day pass in a little slot, you know, and it sucks it in and then gives it back to you. And usually when I do that, after I get the day pass back, I take it and I look up at the bus driver and I give him a little smile because I want to be friendly. And it's just, there was just a deadness in this poor guy's eyes. It's just like, I guess it's probably not the most desirable route in the world, you know, the drunk bus route. I'm sure it gets quite challenging late at night. But this guy, at first I was feeling pretty sorry for him, but he ended up being kind of pushy. He didn't say anything to me, But there were a lot of younger people, the college kids, getting on the bus and going down to the bars for a little Friday night partying. And boy, he seemed to go out of his way to chastise them for one thing or another. For example, the conversation between young people who have probably been drinking a little bit already and are on their way to go do some drinking. You know, the conversations can get quite animated, and one of the kids used the word shit, and the bus driver yelled back, "Watch the language!" Now, it is official policy. I've seen it, you know, on signs and posted in the buses that you are supposed to watch your language. And I think mostly it's because, you know, during the day when people are on there and maybe bringing kids or something like that, I think at the time of the day we were on the bus, I didn't know that, I'm not sure it was really that much of an issue. But even if it is, you know, the fact is I've been riding those buses for about 5 years now, and I've heard plenty of foul language, and I've never heard a bus driver say anything about it before. I don't know why all of a sudden tonight it was so doggone important. And then, you know, people were getting on the bus and they didn't have their correct change. They were fumbling around, couldn't make their IDs work. You get, with the student IDs, you can ride the buses, the city buses, for free, but you got to scan them. And sometimes they don't work, which probably means that they're using somebody's expired ID, you know, to try and get a free ride. Which I'm not quite sure how I feel about that. I mean, it is only $2 for a ride. I mean, can't you afford to cough up $2? Why do you want to? What's the real payback in, you know, cheating the city out of $2, which they desperately need, by the way. But here's just anything. What I'm saying here, this bus driver was just any excuse he could to. I mean, he yelled out the door at somebody because they didn't. You know, he pulled over because he. Somebody was waiting at the bus stop, and he presumed they wanted a ride. And he's an older gentleman. It sounded like he might have been just a touch confused. He wasn't looking for the 21, the drunk bus. He was looking for a different bus. And then bus driver yelled at him for making the stop. God sakes, what went wrong at his house tonight that he's got to act like this? But only once ever before have I encountered a bus driver with that kind of a bad attitude. I was just, this has been several years ago, and he felt the need to stop and chastise a lady for her poor parallel parking technique. In his estimation, it was poor. Anyway, I didn't really see it. I mean, stop the bus. Evidently, he thought she had pulled over too far. He was having trouble getting around her, and he pulled over, stopped the bus and started yelling at her about being in that lane. I don't know. I think, you know, the city is really pushing ridership. They want people to ride the buses. And I think the quality of the riding experience is going to have to improve quite a bit before you start getting people on the bus who don't actually have to use it. I guess I don't actually have to use it, but I don't want to drive any more than I positively have to because my car is very old and it might fall apart in any moment. Plus, if I can get a parking space, I mean, on my street here, there are about 70 cars and about 30 parking spaces, so it can be very, very, very difficult to find one that's anywhere in the vicinity of your apartment. If I can find one, I kind of like to leave the car sit there because I don't want to lose my parking space. So I ride the bus, and some of those experiences I had, like I had last night, I see why other people don't want to. Although most of the bus drivers are very nice and very professional. But I think it only takes one bad experience to sour people on a service like a city bus forever. I mean, those people, if they, you know, obviously if they weren't so drunk they don't remember it, if they do remember it, I mean, that's what they're going to be telling everybody tomorrow. It's about that asshole bus driver they had. And, you know, I understand that being a bus driver is a tough job, and I don't possess the skills necessary to do it. I probably wouldn't possess the patience that's necessary to do it. But at the same time, you know, don't come on like the weight of the world is on your shoulders. You're a bus driver. You know, that's that's who you are, that's what you do, and, you know, it's not, well, anyway, I don't want to get too far into that. So too much, kind of too much negativity there. Let me pull back from the negative. Let me step back from the brink, step back from the edge, and just express my love for my brothers and sisters who drive buses. And there's that. I talked way longer than I was planning to about that. I have a new blog entry up today, and it's about octopuses, two octopuses in particular. One that I saw on television at a Detroit Red Wings game, and they have this sort of quaint tradition there that they throw, Red Wings fans throw octopuses onto the ice. And it has something to do with the eight tentacles, and there used to be, it used to be in the old days, eight games to win the Stanley Cup. So anyway, they throw octopuses. And I was watching the game on Sunday, and the guy come out to retrieve the octopus because, you know, he obviously can't play the hockey game with an octopus out, laying on the ice. And he picks this octopus up, which I assume is dead. He picks the thing up rather than, you know, I mean, one would think, you know, shovel in a bucket or something. But he picks things up with his hands, and he twirls it over his head, you know, like some sort of victory celebration with this dead blob with its eight tentacles. And that sort of put me in mind of, well, how did I get that? I don't have the blog in front of me. I knew I wanted to write about that, and I had also been thinking about Paul the Octopus, who is the who picked all the World Cup games a couple years back, was picking them all correctly. And then he picked against Germany, and the German fans were so mad that they were threatening his life. You know, they were going to go come and take him away from the aquarium where he worked, and they were going to cook him up. You know, and then the people from the other team were saying they would give Paul asylum so that he wouldn't be roasted or fried by the German fans. And where did I go from there? Oh, it's about obviously, that the whole picking games correctly might not be a positive indication that octopuses are intelligent enough to be considered, you know, out of bounds for things like people throwing them on the ice or throwing them over their heads. But that the whole, I remember the whole thing with Paul. Sort of opened people up. I mean, there were all these documentaries going on at the time and news reports about, you know, how octopuses actually are very intelligent, and that they have, that they show they have individual personalities, and that they're good at some things, and the individuals are good at certain things and bad at other things. And that does kind of bring up, you know, is it okay to use one the way that they use them up in Detroit? And then I got off on this thing about, you know, what you're allowed to eat and what you're not allowed to eat, and how I make my sort of determination of what I'll eat and what I won't, because I've eaten octopus before, but now I won't, because I've learned all these things about them. But at the same time, you know, pigs have, they're smarter than dogs, and they have individual personalities. I've read that cows have individual personalities, you know, and I'll eat pigs and cows. Why do I not eat octopus or not eat whales or dolphins, but I will eat, you know, pigs and cows. This is a sort of ethical dilemma. And then the thing kind of goes on longer than I wanted to. As I've said, I try and cut my blogging off at about 500-600 words, and this went over 800. So I guess I'm finding some passion somewhere. It's an all right piece. Go ahead and read it. Tell me what you think of it. You can post a comment right there on the website. The website's mutto-sasquatch.com, MUTTOE-SASQUATCH. That's a moderated blog, so it means I look at the comments and then I pass them, and they get posted on the website. And I will pass, you know, just about any. I won't block out your comment just because it's negative. I will block it out if it's asinine. But that's kind of the way it goes. You can also send comments to me at mutto-sasquatch@gmail.com or on my Facebook page, mutto-sasquatch, if you're really just dying to send me messages about my writing about octopuses or anything else. And by the way, it is octopuses. I looked it up. It's octopus is an English word, and the plural for an English word that ends in an S is to put ES at the end of it, so octopuses. Octopi is just something somebody, some smart ass said at one time. And if octopus were a Latin word, yes, octopi would be the plural. But it's not a Latin word, and I'm not writing in Latin, and I don't know Latin, and even if I did, it'd be kind of dumb for me to write in Latin because nobody who reads my stuff reads Latin, right? Maybe one or two of you. And I said, but why would I write in Latin anyway, and why would I make my plurals in Latin? Octopuses. Deal with it. Not octopuses. On the other hand, as I've said before, if enough people start saying octopi instead of octopuses, the language will then shift, and it will be octopi. But for now, it's octopuses, and that's my story, and I'm sticking with it. So that's that. What else can we talk about? We've got about 4 minutes left. I trudged my way through that bus stuff, and then I ran through the octopus stuff. I've ended up with 4 minutes here, at the end to kill. I've been fairly busy with medical school too, but medical school is what I meant to say. Had a couple days doing that, and I'm really enjoying it. I feel I'm doing something useful, and they're paying me a little bit of money for it. Now, it's not enough. I mean, I couldn't just live on this unless it was because it's just, they say it's like 2 days a week. Actually, next week I'm going to have 3 days doing it, and it's only half a day each. So it's just like, gosh, this is so much fun, and I feel useful doing it. Gosh, wouldn't it be so great if I could do this for a living? But it's an improvement over what I've done in the past, which is, in the past, I've always focused and spent a lot of my time working on things that didn't pay me at all. I had an example in my head and it went away. Actually, I had an example in my head, but I don't want to say it because the person I'm going to talk about is probably listening or may be listening. So just forget I even brought that up. I don't want to deal with the possible consequences of saying this and having somebody call me back. What the hell do you mean you don't like doing that for me for nothing? I take videos for you. We do these drum circles and we go to places, and you know, they can't pay me anything for it, but I go, I do it, and I take the video anyway. And I've done a lot of things like that, just throwing a lot of effort into things that people needed them to be done, and I felt good about doing them. I think it was nice of me to do them. But it, you know, puts me in a bad situation because I do need to be, concentrating more on earning money, paying my bills, and it's doesn't quite behoove me to spend so much time doing things that don't pay at all. So I've moved to things that don't pay particularly well. Used to be things that don't pay at all. Now I'm spending most of my time on things that don't pay particularly well. So that's incremental progress. And I just got my 90-second call, which means it's time to start wrapping this thing up. Once again, I do thank you for joining me. In the absence of therapy, which hopefully I'm going to be back into in a few more weeks, this is my only opportunity to share these ramblings, which are always imprisoned in my brain. So again, many thanks. I hope you enjoy the show. If you can send me your comments about it, let me know what you'd like me to talk about or what you'd like me to shut up about. I always take those things very much into consideration before I start the show. So, for the very last annoying time, I will thank you for listening and hope you stop back in next week. And have a good night, everybody.